Hi everyone, and welcome to another update. It is the 10th of May, 2024. We are in the middle of a reporting season, and it's been a really interesting one, actually. There's been a lot going on under the surface. There's been a lot of companies that have done exceptionally well, but the vast majority seem to be melting away at the moment. So I thought I'd review some of those. The first one is Shopify. Now, this is a large company. This is $80 billion, a clear market leader. So if you think about our framework, explosive growth, true customer love, market leaders, and then quantitative risk management. It's pretty clear that they're the market leaders, and there is a huge amount of customer love, but there is no explosive growth here, and it has broken down from all key levels. So it's kind of got 2 out of 4, which is not really good enough. But if you look at their numbers, I just want to keep in mind this is an $80 billion company. They've increased gross profit from $700 million to $900 million for the quarter. So say $3.6 billion of gross profit, $80 billion market cap. And the loss is they're still running at a gap loss. I mean, there was a bit of other income which kind of swung them below. If you look at their income from operations, they've gone from a loss to an $86 million profit. That doesn't really help. It doesn't really help when your market cap's $80 billion. If you look at their cash flow statement as well, it's doing $238 million in the kind of most generous quarterly cash flow you could come up with. If you subtract the $100 million of stock comp, it's maybe 140. It's maybe, if you're generous, $600 million of cash flow on an $80 billion market cap. And the problem with these companies now is they're not growing. They've kind of reached maturity. It's a beautiful product. It's amazing for customers. They give a huge amount of value to their users. And it actually is, I say market leader, it's a super competitive space. It is super competitive. You know, you've got Wix, you've got, there's so many different online places where you can just quickly set up a shop. It's not the only game in town by a very, very long way. Like, it's a really competitive space. So they have to give away a lot of value to their customers. And the reality is they're not really growing. I think if they stripped out something that they sold, it was 29%. So that's a long way from, if you're being really generous, you know, $800 million operating cash flow to justify an $80 billion market cap. So it's not surprising it come off a bit. Also, ZoomInfo, it was a red hot stock. At one point, it was the crowd favorite amongst a certain kind of software investor. It's kind of melted away from $80 to $12, and it just hit a new all-time low. And there's a couple of things I thought were interesting. I mean, firstly, revenue growth has just stopped, so you have to kind of value it as is. It is making gap profits, unlike the others, only its net income for the last 12 months, so this is yearly now, not quarterly, was $78 million. They're calling cash EBITDA of $500 million, but obviously that doesn't really make any sense whatsoever. But if they're not growing, you have to value it at that. How would you value $70 million of operating profit? You know, you don't come to a very good number on a static company. And this is a $4.78 billion company. But the really interesting thing was, which I think can show what's wrong with some of these companies, you look at their recent business and operating highlights. They just released this to the market. The first thing they said is that they were named the leader in the Forrester Wave marketing and sales data providers for B2B in that quarter. So basically they won an award from an industry group. Like, that is not a business or operating highlight. That is like, that has nothing to do with like their performance. Who knows what Forrester Wave is? Who knows how they're paid? And is this something you have to pay to win the award? Data. It's just bizarre to emphasize that as number one. And then you go to number two. The highlight was that they published the company's 2023 sustainability report, highlighting notable achievements in ESG. And that's kind of like, it's like read the room. Like, this is not the time for that. People want to see increase in customers, increase in revenues or something. Maybe if the numbers are bad, you can highlight a new initiative that you're making, a new investment in a new kind of product suite that you're doing. Focusing on market awards and ESG is just such a red flag. And so to the sin bin with ZoomInfo, and they probably deserve it. And this is an example of how our risk modeling would have kept us out of it, by the way. We've kept your capital versus a 70% loss. There's an instinct that we all have to buy things that are down and sell things that are up. The biggest unlock you can probably get is doing the opposite, because this has been selling off for two years. So at any point in the last, sorry, it's more like 3 years now. At any point in the last 3 years, you could have convinced yourself that this was a buy, because it was much cheaper than it was, significantly cheaper than it was a few months ago, over years, over multiple years. And that's a trap. That's money that could have been put into NVIDIA, AI, anything, the NASDAQ. You know, I've fallen into that trap more than once myself, and we're just not going to do it anymore, and we're going to do it in a quantitative way to make sure that we're never stuck in these ZoomInfos. You can actually flip these models and use them for shorts as well, by the way, and then you would have actually made a lot of money on stuff like this. The other one in the same class of stock is Roblox. And the funny thing about this one is what they highlighted. So this is straight from the top of their website of the announcement. Strong net cash and cash equivalents provided by operating activities up 37% year over year, and record free cash flow up 133% year on year. Okay, seems kind of promising. But then you have a look, you're like, wow. They made like 7 or 8 adjustments, including $240 million of stock comp is going to them every quarter, every 3 months, $240 million richer. The consolidated net loss was $271 million. So it's losing well over $1 billion a year at the current run rate. And they're actually losing more now than they were a year ago. Now, I mentioned with Shopify was $80 billion. Roblox is a $24 billion company, or was 24 hours ago. So $24 billion company losing $1 billion a year and going backwards. So this isn't a company that's scaling super fast. So how many years are they going to lose $1 billion for? I mean, it's hard enough to value a company losing $1 billion at the best of times. You'd probably come up with low to mid single digits. But if they're going to lose $4, 5, 6, 7, 8 billion before they get to profit, and I think 3 to 4 is like, you can just assume that they're going to lose another $3 to $4 billion. Like, how do you come to anywhere near $24 billion market cap? And the answer is that you don't. This probably bleeds away. And the mechanism by which it bleeds away is, there's probably a couple. I mean, the funds that buy this kind of stuff, it's kind of ARK. Now, I'll come back to ARK because it's really relevant at the moment. But you also have employees. So if you're issuing $1 billion of stock, every tech employee in a small or mid-cap company has seen, you know, either their or their colleagues' wealth completely evaporate over the last 3 years. If you speak to them, they sell it. As it comes out, they sell it. It's just what they do. And there were some people that believed in the story and kind of held, and some of those people did particularly well. Obviously, there must be so many people from Microsoft engineers worth a fortune. But this generation used to do that. They don't do that anymore. They sell. And so you've got $1 billion of selling in a $24 billion company that's losing $1 billion a year. That growth has really slowed down. Let me just pull up that growth number. Yeah, 22% growth, 19% bookings. It's not really enough. Well, I should add, this is $800 million of revenue. So spending over $1 billion to get $800 million back, it's just not, it hasn't turned out to be a good business, but as it's gone to this kind of midlife slow growth stasis. It should be making money. But I remember I went to MS Tech conference, it was probably 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and the Roblox guy got on stage. He's wearing like a leather jacket, leather shoes, designer clothes, and he just treated the room with absolute disdain. And you can really see how that disdain comes through in the financial management of his company. But it could blow the whole thing up. I mean, imagine having at one point, this must have been over $100 billion. Imagine having an organization that big and then losing it. There's a very real chance if Roblox can't actually get more money out of their customers, and they can't. So spend is basically flat. Average bookings per user is up 2%. So they're struggling to get money out of their customers, and they're losing money, and they're not really adding customers. This could lose $1 billion a year for the next 5 years, and then they're in real trouble. Then you're looking at something like Unity or all these other things that have just completely melted away. And Unity is also in the sin bin. They're slightly worse. So the Unity is kind of like where Roblox would be if growth went negative. So they went from $500 million to $460 million. But they're also losing $291 million. So they're in the quarter. So they're also losing over $1 billion. And you can see that it's basically at all-time lows. It's just completely melted away. These companies didn't have to do this. They could have chosen a different path. They could have sweated their assets they had. They could have, you know, reined in that stock-based comp. They just had to do it. And some companies did and are doing really well. You're actually seeing companies in this space that had similar swings down take much more drastic action and perform. But these ones are all just still in the hole, still in the sin bin. Even something like Shopify has done a better job than these guys at kind of turning that around. Block was kind of interesting. They had a big gap profit, though some of this was due to like non-operating things. But it was $472 million, nearly $2 billion annualized, I guess, in the most generous way. But this also is a large company, right? This is a $45 billion company. So it's tough. It's a super competitive industry now. Like payments, my view on payments is it all kind of goes down. Like the margins for all payment providers, whether you Stripe on the internet, Block in shops and restaurants, all that. There's so many competitors in restaurants at the moment, whether it's Toast, for Lightspeed, there's so many different competitors. But really, I think the amount that people pay to just transfer money on the internet is already way too high in 2024, especially in the United States. Block charges people to transfer money in between accounts. You don't see that in Australia, and there's very little reason to do that. So I'm kind of on the fence and block. I don't think you need to have a strong opinion here. If you go to their cash flow statement, which is probably the better way of looking at it, 490 mil with 300 mil of stock comp. But again, wow, that's 1.2 bill. Got a $45 billion company, 1.2 bill of insider selling a year. 489 minus 300 is about 180 mil. It's pretty hard to see this being worth 45 billion. It could be a long, slow bleed. And it'll come because insiders just continually sell. And there's no people raising funds that are like, block is my number one position. The people that did that, the money's going out of their funds into people doing other stuff. So there's just this like long-term headwind here, which I don't think that changes in the near term. Block announced upsize and pricing of 2 billion offerings. This was interesting because all these companies raise these convertibles. So the idea is you raise a lot of money, you get the cash sits on balance sheet, and then you sell a call option in your own stock. So you sell a bit of your own stock forward. You get a lot for long-term options if it's like a 5, 6, 7 year loan, and that basically pays for your interest. So you can borrow large amounts of money for very long periods of time and pay very little interest. But now you can see these are senior notes. They're just paying the 6.5%. I'm not sure the best way to interpret this. I don't think it's good. I mean, that's 6.5%. That's 130 mil they're going to have to find now. That's like their entire cash from operating activities minus stock comp. So they've just signed away their entire cash flow from operations net of stock comp to paying the interest on these notes. That is not good, and it's probably why the stock has rallied at first, because there were things to like in their report, but has then sold off pretty significantly. That's going to be a big drag for them. That's not going to be good for their gap numbers. And then you can see here, Toast, Shift4, Clover, Square. Growth has really come down for Square, and it hasn't necessarily. They've all come down, but at least Toast, Shift4 and Clover have seen that 30%. The revenue growth for Square is much lower. Yeah, tough place, tough industry. They're basically trying to capture margin from the restaurant industry. I don't think there was that much margin there to take to begin with. But remember, margin's the right way of looking at it. Let's say you spend $100 in a restaurant. Most of that's going to go to food and service. The profit margin's really slim, so you're going to have to capture more of that. Their entire payment amount is actually going to be a significant amount of that. Of the total profit of the restaurant industry, which is what these guys are going for. This is in a world where it's the internet, information should be traveling freely, including information relating to payments. And then you can see Lightspeed, which is another one of these ones. It still surprised me to see these. I mean, to some extent, I thought this would be like rocking up and down in massive swings like it did before. But, you know, 120 down to like kind of 15, and it's just gone flat for years and years and years. I got asked about Toast a few times because people seem to like it. And I think there's a lot, kind of like Shopify, there's a lot to like about the product. But this is a $15 billion company losing $80 million a quarter, the same as it lost last year. So there's been some modest growth, not a huge amount. Revenue's 25% growth, but no increase in profits or no reduction in loss. I don't think you can put a big value on this thing. And it's also worth noting that their gross margin is pretty low. So their revenue doesn't include the stuff that they have to pay out, financial technology solutions. So that's the amount they have to pay just to process the payments. So of a billion revenue, they have to pay out 683 mil. So if you saw this as doing a billion revenue in a quarter, you've got it the wrong way around. It's actually a billion net of 683. It's a much smaller business than people seem to think. I think it's like a 10 times gross profit or something like that. Not crazy high, but not cheap and not growing fast. To add to that, you've got these CRISPR plays that are all kind of detonating. I will tie this all up in a knot at the end, by the way. There is a reason I'm covering these companies. And so I think with these ones, it's kind of like, well, these have been a theme for a while. Where are the drugs? It's mid-2024. Why are there not 10 CRISPR therapies out there? Of this basket, there was a basket of, it was like CRISPR, Intellia, Editas, Beam, not sure if I'm missing any. But, you know, they're all traded as one, top-performing stock, big ARK thing, huge retail following, promise the world. The problem with these platforms, and the idea was to do platform plays, whereas the kind of professionals usually focus on drug-by-drug opportunities. The problem is like the platforms are really expensive because they've got all these programs, and these treatments are really expensive. And so CRISPR's the only one that's got one approved, and very few people are using it. They're just very slowly rolling it out. And they're all losing hundreds of millions of dollars a year. So they were losing hundreds of millions of dollars in 2019 and 2020. It's now 2024. Like, that's added up to a huge sum. And they're paying out huge. In biotech, these companies are paying vastly more to their management than is usual. And of course, the management teams are just hosing it. So if you buy it, if you're a retail pundit and you put 50 grand into these companies, you're probably funding 50 grand of a $2 million sale from the CEO or something. That's like in that's what's actually happening behind the scenes. This could have played out differently. They could have delivered multiple drugs each by now or be about to. And those drugs, when they're released, everyone would be thinking, wow, this is a miracle. We're all going to use them. But the first one from CRISPR anyway is not like that. You still have to go through chemotherapy. You still have to spend 6 months, like weeks up to months in hospitals, lots of complications, very dangerous, horrible procedure, obviously for a horrible disease, but it's not some crazy one-shot solution, which may come, but you're not there. And then you've got companies like Beam that are just even further and further away, still paying out huge amounts to the insiders. So try not to get too interested in any of these, because you just got that wave of selling. Now, there's two key things that are driving. So we've just gone through like a whole wave of yesterday's winners that are getting smashed. I'll finish on a positive note. But I think it's worth thinking about what's going on. Obviously, you have interest rates going up, but really there's two things. The first is the funds are now hemorrhaging money. So some of these are now very small companies. You can't have ARKs selling, you know, 200 million bucks. There's just no buyer for that. And that's why you're seeing some of these things detonate and blow up. It's not just ARK, it's anybody that was still trading in that way. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is there's these immense amounts of savings from 2020 to 2021. We know that a lot of that went into the stock market. It became like a hobby for everybody, and you got those enormous uplifts in stock prices, which happens kind of every now and then, every decade or two. There's just this speculative fever. But you can see that these excess savings by higher interest rates and a much, much tougher environment, inflation, the fact GDP has been growing, but immigration has been higher, so GDP per capita has been shrinking. Everyone's been drawing down on savings, and we're now at a point where you've got actually net negative savings now. So that entire pandemic era excess savings has been worn away. So there is no pool of money just sitting there from retail waiting to pump up CRISPR or I don't know, Shopify. It's just not there. And institutions are getting outflows that like this stuff. And meanwhile, there have been massive winners. You know, we talked a lot about semiconductors. The people who made that pivot are probably fine now. You know, it certainly helped us a lot. The people, these other companies, it just doesn't really make sense. The numbers don't match up. And then you've got mass insider selling, and then you've got funds liquidating. So there's not much to be optimistic about there. But I'll show you some stuff. So there is opportunities. So we've talked about Transmedics. You can see that hit a new high. But that delivered. That didn't just deliver massive revenue growth. It's also got a 3 to 4X opportunity ahead of itself, which is executing way ahead of plan. And they did 12% gap margin. So all those criticisms that I was applying to those other companies don't apply here. It's growing at 130, not 30. It's gap profitable by a decent margin. It's making more money now than it did last year. It actually lost money last year. And it's not like a Shopify or a Square where it's kind of reached some limit. You know, Shopify was had a market share almost competitive with Amazon at one point. You know, the money-making opportunities are not hitting those limits yet. And then compare like Clarity Pharmaceuticals, and it's not just Clarity. Obviously, I talk about Clarity because we own it and I love it. But, you know, it's like companies like Neuren that actually deliver drugs that are being sold at high volumes. Those companies are doing extraordinarily well, but they're actually delivering drugs to customers, not just getting approvals, but actually delivering them. And Clarity's got, you know, stunning data. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing. You're not seeing that from some of the other companies. One of our other biggest ones is New, and then we also have Celsius. So that's our top four, is these companies, all trending up, all growing exceptionally fast. They've all got that true customer love. Transmedics clearly winning against an ice bucket. Celsius taking massive market share from Red Bull and Monster. Nubank is taking huge market share off incumbents, up to 100 mil customers now. You could say Clarity's a winner. They've got the best data for the stage that they're at so far. And then on the quantitative risk side, these things are all trending up, but the other ones are all broken down. So it still makes sense to hold these things, and actually we still expect pretty big things. If Clarity gets lucky, or not even lucky, if the M&A takeover wave, if they apply that to Clarity, that could be 2 to 3X from here after a huge run. Transmedics is still at triple digit, well over triple digit growth. And Celsius is rolling out internationally. Nubank is going from success in Brazil, rolling out in Mexico, up to 5 million customers there, 1 million in Colombia, and they can just roll their model out across Latin America. So there's plenty to be excited about, but it's really interesting to see under the surface how this combination of insider selling, no profits, and now funds having to sell is really gutting the vast majority of the market. And I think about what kind of market we're in now. We're in the usual state. There's going to be a handful of winners and mostly losers. That's just going to have to be. And now, the indices are probably going to be fine because the winners that are actually making everybody else lose are largely weighted to the larger cap for good reason. They're the companies, they're the hyperscalers, the big tech companies that have been winning for a long time. The small and mid-cap space, they've got to be growing fast. They've got to have a good profit story. They've got to excite people that don't really care about the theme. They're just really kind of bottoms up. Those things will continue to do really well. But the vast majority of the market that is kind of losing market share or having to pay enormous sums to the hyperscalers to stay in business, you know, that kind of stuff, I think, is pretty challenged. So it's a pretty good time for stock picking, I think. And I think that's played out this year. So I hope you found that interesting. And we'll do another one next week.